All right, we're ready. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. Moving right along here. Revelation chapter 10 this evening. Revelation chapter number 10, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to jump down to the latter part of the chapter tonight to find a very practical, a very needful lesson. Because I think it's good and it's needful, and I'm trying to keep things balanced as we go along through Revelation. Sometimes you get a lot of similar material, so I'm trying to keep some kind of a balance as we go through here. This will help. And then next time we'll go back to the first part of chapter 10 and start from verse number 1. Well, let's read tonight Revelation chapter 10. We'll start in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair, and everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels, rich and rare, are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Thy word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle day all lethal weapons there. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mine. May I its fragrant flowers gleam, its light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe, the battle of the Lord." That's good, isn't it? That's a good one. Here's another one. Holy Bible. Book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward. Mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness. Mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine." Amen. Wonderful words there, wonderful truth. And yet I wonder, in a Bible-believing church, which makes its boast that we believe the Bible, I wonder how many people here picked up your Bible tonight for our meeting, but it's the first time you picked up your Bible since the last time you picked it up for our online meeting. In fact, some people in a Bible-believing church where we believe the Word of God is the most important thing in the world didn't even know where their Bible was without a thorough search of the house. But hey, it's the greatest thing in the world. Nothing means more to us than the Word of God. That's why we spent 5 minutes with it this week and 5 hours a day with the television set. It's the greatest thing in all the universe, this Holy Bible that God has given us. And yet we feed our face with food 3 times a day and have snacks in between, and maybe read the Bible every now and then. See, sadly, there's a great difference between what we profess with our lips and what we actually believe in our heart. What we actually believe in our heart is evidenced by what we do in our lives. There are people in our world today who know that the answers to all of life's questions are to be found in the Holy Bible. So why are they looking to the psychiatrist? Why are they looking to the counselor? Why are they going to their friends for answers? Why do they go to a minister? They look everywhere. I'll tell you why. They're not looking for the answer, but they're just looking for what they want to hear, because they've already decided they don't want the answer. They want somebody to agree with them. So they don't seek where they could find. That's in the scriptures. And, you know, it seems strange that God would talk in this passage about eating the book. But let's stop. And we're making application, of course. But let's stop and talk about eating for a minute. God has so made the human body that it cannot sustain itself. But it must be nourished by food and drink from some other source. So God could have made us breatharians. Maybe you never heard of that. There's actually a group that calls themselves the breatharians. And if you'll send them some money, they'll teach you how to live like a parasite, just absorbing food and nutrients from the air. But if you send your money to them, you're going to be very disappointed, because you're going to find out you still need to buy groceries. You still need to eat, and you cannot get food from the air. But God made you so that looking at food, just looking at it, won't do you any good. God made you so that having the food in your house won't do you any good. God made you so that tasting food and then spitting it out could never provide the necessary nourishment. No, one must taste, chew, and swallow. Then the food enters the body, it's broken down, and it's transported in such a way that it actually becomes part of the one who has eaten it. They are enabled to keep on living because this food has been made a part of their body. So God has made the inner man, that it cannot sustain itself. It must be nourished by the food and the drink that comes from this Holy Bible. It's not enough to look at the Bible. Look at that Bible. That won't help. It's not enough to have the Bible. It's not enough to go to a church where the Bible is preached. It's not enough to taste it and then decide you don't like it. You don't like the taste, so you reject it. You spit it out. No, we must taste, chew, and swallow. Then the scripture enters the soul. It's broken down, it's transported in such a way as to actually become a part of the one who has eaten it. That's how we live. That's how we live. If you don't eat, you will grow weak. If you continue doing without food, you'll die. If you go long enough without food, you'll die. If you eat poisoned food, that is food that someone has put something into that is not what you ought to be eating, you will die. Now, if you don't feed on the Word of God, you'll grow weak. If you don't feed on the Word of God, eventually your spiritual life will die. And if you think that listening to these radio and TV preachers and reading these new versions of the Bible and reading this modern slop that's put out in the name of Christian literature, if you think that's going to preserve your spiritual life, you're wrong again. Poisoned food will kill you quicker than no food at all. That's a fact. So what we need to be doing is not just saying, oh yes, bless God, I have a Bible. The Bible's the Word of God. The Bible is true. The Bible's the greatest book on earth. You can starve to death saying all those things. I'll give you an example. Your wife, she may be a great cook. You may have a pantry full of food and a shelf full of cookbooks and recipes, and you can tell everyone how great your wife can cook. But if you don't eat that cooking, you're going to die. You can have the greatest Savior and the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth of the greatest book on the earth. You can brag about your preacher, brag about your Sunday school teachers, brag about your church, but if you're not feeding on this Word of God, your preacher is going to watch your spiritual life go down the drain. You can sit in a Bible-believing church and lose your marriage if you don't feed on the Word of God. You can sit in a Bible-believing church and lose your children if you don't feed on the Word of God. You can sit in a Bible-believing church and lose your testimony if you don't feed on the Word of God. Now, you know something? Even of the babe in its mother's arms must do its own eating. Mother may provide the milk, but the baby is the one who's got to eat it. The chef in the restaurant, or if you go for the fast food, the microwaver in the restaurant, he can prepare your food, but you got to eat it. Somebody can buy your groceries for you. Somebody can cook your meals for you. Somebody can put them on a fork and stick them in your mouth, but you've got to eat your food. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can go to church every single week. And I, as the pastor, I can put a meal on your spiritual plate that God has helped me to prepare for your nourishment and for your well-being. But you'd better eat that. It's not going to do you one bit of good if you don't eat it. I can show you what the right Bible is, teach you what the right Bible is, teach you to believe it, teach you to read it, teach you to study it. But if you leave that Bible sitting in your car or on your coffee table in your living room, it's not going to do you one bit of good. You'll be no more right with God. You'll be no closer to God than the man that never darkened the door of a church. God said in Revelation 10 and verse number 9, take it and eat it up. Don't just take it. Don't just carry it. Don't just possess it. Put it in your mouth. Chew it. Swallow it. Digest it. And let it become a part of your life. Now here's the problem. Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. Well, who likes that, right? That's the problem. That's the problem. We like the tasty little verses that you can put in a frame or put on a wall plaque. We like the tasty little calendar verses. We don't like the parts of the Bible that tell us what God despises about the lives that we're living. We don't like the parts of the Bible where God commands us to do certain things that we don't want to do. All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, that's me. That's you. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's me. That's you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. That's you. If that's true, how can I read the holy words of the holy God and not find out some things about myself and my relationship to God that turn my stomach? It's going to happen if I really read it and chew it, eat it, swallow it. But how can I be nourished and strong if I don't eat what God has given me to eat? How can I be well if I don't take the medicine that God has given me? You know why some of you get offended by some things that I preached, things that are right out of this Holy Bible? Because you've been eating newspaper all week. You know why some of you, I can show you the verse and you can turn to the verse and read the verse and I can exposit the verse. You can shake your head and say, well, I just don't agree with that. I don't see it that way. You know why? Because you're feeding on something else. You're feeding on Hollywood and you're seeing things the way they see it. You're feeding on the philosophy of the world. You're feeding on the opinions of your relatives. You're feeding on the religion of your forefathers. If you would eat this Bible, you would find that as it entered your being and became a part of your person and made its way into your thinking and made its way into your walking and made its way into your looking, the things you look at, and made its way into your hearing, the things you allow yourself to listen to, you would find yourself agreeing more and more and more with that man that's preaching what this Bible says. When you find yourself bitter and grumbling and griping and disagreeing and arguing and finding fault with the man that's telling you what the Bible says, the problem is you've got a bad diet and it's messing up your system. You are what you eat, you know. Listen, spiritually, you are going to think about what you're listening to. You are going to respond to the information wherewith you programmed your thinking, your thought processes, your mind. You're going to act in accordance with those things that you have been feeding to your heart. I wonder. Listen, this is so simple, but sometimes we need simple. I wonder how you would do on your job, for example, if you ate dinner. Here we are, Friday evening. You eat dinner Friday evening, and that's the only meal you ate all week, that Friday evening meal. Suppose it was the best dinner in town, spoon-fed to you by the finest chef in Kuwait. How would you do on your job come Sunday morning? How would you do on that job come Monday afternoon? You say, thank God we've got a great preacher, man. He preaches on Friday night. You've never heard anybody give you something out of the Bible like he does. But I'm telling you something, that won't help you come Monday afternoon. That won't help you come Wednesday morning. If you haven't been eating this book in the meantime, in those in-between days, you are going to run out of gas. Suppose you were really into food and you ate three meals a week. Okay? Now think about this. You're really into food, so you're going to force yourself and you're going to eat three meals in that week. Not only did you eat dinner on Friday night, but you ate supper again on Monday night. Woo! And then you had some fast food delivered to you via some other means on a different day, maybe Wednesday night. Well, still, is that enough? You're not going to make the football team. You wouldn't hold a job. You wouldn't be very active around the house. You're going to get weak. I love the Lord more than anything. No, you don't. You love food. You love the flesh and the belly. We wouldn't dare tell our body to skip a meal, would we? But we'd tell our God to skip town till next Friday. And you say, well, oh no, don't get me wrong. I mean, if the kids are sick, we'll go talk to them and we'll pray and ask them to make them well. If we think we might lose our job, we'll go tell God about it and ask him to intervene. But to get up in the morning and read the Bible, to pray when we don't want something, imagine that. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Did you know that one day my body is going to die? My body is going to die, but I'll still be alive. The body is not me. Did you know that one day, instead of me eating food, I'm going to be food? That is my body. But I'm not the body. I'll be alive in heaven. And some of us are spending a fortune trying to keep something alive that we know is going to die. And we're spending no time and no effort at all trying to keep something blessed and strong and vital that we know is going to live forever. Doesn't make sense. Look here, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3. And when the tempter, that's the devil, came to him, that's Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now keep in mind here, Jesus hasn't had anything to eat in 40 days. 40 days, Jesus had nothing to eat. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And I'm glad I've got a King James Bible because I need the rest of the verse. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You won't get that in the new Bibles. I don't live by bread alone. I live by the word of God. And notice, I don't live by John 3:16. I don't live by two or three of my favorite Sunday school verses. I live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word is necessary for me to live a healthy spiritual life. Without it, I'll grow sick. I'll grow weak. Eventually, my testimony and my interest in spiritual things will die. Jeremiah chapter 15 is next. Jeremiah 15. You know, people, they want to come to church and they think because they come to church, their children will grow up to be Christians. What if by coming to church, your children they learn to ignore the preacher and disregard whatever is said from the pulpit? Well, they'll be worse off than the kids that never went to church. Some people think that going to church once a week will keep their marriage together. Why, what is it? Some sort of a magic building? You know, close your eyes, step into the magic chamber. No, church is the place where you go to hear from God, where you need to go to find out how to hold that thing together from the scriptures. Some people think that their lives are going to be blessed because they go to church. No, you go to church to be encouraged, to seek the blessing, to be challenged, to find the blessing. But your blessing, it's going to come from the Holy Bible. And if you go to church with a Bible in your lap, but you don't get in the book that's in your lap, you are going to miss the blessing. You'll miss it. Jeremiah 15. And that's the truth, by the way. You don't have to agree with that, but it is the truth. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. All right, now hear me. Listen, I'm not picking. I'm trying to help you. I hope I am. God knows that's true. Do you want to delight in the Lord? Well, let me tell you how to do that. He said right here in this verse, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. There are people who attend a Bible-believing church, you know, a good church, sound church, fundamental church that teaches right. They found God's word, but they enjoy football. They found God's word, but they enjoy a weekend of golf. They found God's word, but they enjoy the movies. They found God's word, but they enjoy deep sea fishing, whatever it is. Okay? They found God's word, but they enjoy the money. They found it, it depends on what it is for you. What it is that you love more than the word of God. Okay? You know what the trouble is? You know what your trouble is? If what I just said fits you, the trouble is you haven't eaten God's word yet. And when God's word begins to enter your soul and begins to permeate every part of your being, you might still do this and still do that and still go here and still go there, some of those things I already mentioned there, okay, but you don't love those things. Those are just some activities now. They don't become the longing desire and passion of your life. People are all wrapped up in things, trying to find the joy and satisfaction that can only come through the word of God. That's true. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You will never enjoy the Christian life as long as your Christian life is just coming and hearing what Brother Bob has to say about the Christian life. You will never enjoy living for the Lord as long as living for the Lord for you consists of going to church and finding out what Brother Bob got from his Bible. You will never know why these men and women are so excited about serving God as long as all you do is go to church and hear about how they're serving God. Until God's word becomes your steady diet, you'll be nothing more than a spectator trying to find something out there in that world to make you happy, something to satisfy you. Now, listen, I've been preaching this Bible and dealing with church people now for 24 years, and I only say that to give you a little bit of confidence that maybe I know what I'm talking about. Listen, you can keep coming to church and sitting right where you always sat, but I'm telling you, it won't be 12 months until the preacher can see as clear as day that you're not right with God anymore. And it'll run right back to the truth that you got your nose out of the Bible. And once you got your nose out of the Bible, it wasn't long before you didn't really see where you need to be in church anymore. And you weren't really excited about coming to church anymore. And you weren't really happy about being with the brethren anymore. And you need the social media, and you need the dance, and you need the vacation, and you need the trip, and you need the boyfriend, you need the girlfriend. Why? Because you were trying to find the satisfaction that you left behind when you laid aside the word of God. Listen, I don't care if your kids are involved in things that help you to get together with other families, you know, sports programs, social events, things like that. Just don't think that that is what's going to make your life happy. And don't think that's what's going to hold your family together. I don't care if you all take a vacation. Maybe you go hiking, fishing, sightseeing. Just don't get to where you think that's going to solve the problem. Oh, if we could just get away for a few days, just spend a little time together out on the old stream, fishing for catfish like we used to. Well, you can catch the biggest catfish you've ever seen, and it won't do you one bit of good if you don't get back in this book and start feeding on this Bible. Church won't do it. Christian friends won't do it. All the advice in the world will not do it. All the pleasures in the world won't do it. All the money in the world won't do it. God said right here, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because he ate it. He didn't just keep it on a shelf somewhere and then, you know, to bring to church with him when the, you know, when that day came. And you can get mad at everybody in church and blame everybody this side of heaven, everybody in heaven, if you want, for the problems in your life. But I'm telling you, without even knowing what those problems are, if you are not feeding continually on the word of God, you're in trouble, and you're going to stay in trouble. Turn to Psalm 119. You knew we'd have to go there, didn't you? Psalm 119. Say, Brother Bob, you sound kind of angry tonight. Well, I'm angry at the devil for deceiving people. And I'm angry with people that allow him to deceive them. It's frustrating. It is. Psalm 119 and verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I'm going to say something to you because I know how the devil works. Matthew 13 says there are unclean spirits flying around when the word of God is preached. They plant things in your ears. They try to steal the word. I know what you're thinking. You say, Brother Bob, if I had all day to study the Bible, then I'd read it more. Okay. Listen, if you've only got 30 minutes a day of free time, and you're spending that free time with something other than the Bible, well, don't lie to God and say if you had more free time, you would read the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible with the time that you've got, why would you read the Bible if you had more time? You know what the problem is? I said it the other night. We just don't have a taste for it. The psalmist here said, oh, it's sweet, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I love the taste of God's word. I love the taste of the Bible. Trouble with some of God's people is they got the wrong appetite. They love the taste of fill in the blank. It's not that we don't have time. It's that we've chosen to do other things with our time. It's not that we don't have interests or activities. We just have other interests and other activities besides the Bible. Turn to Job chapter 23. Job 23. Job 23, here's a good verse to put on your refrigerator. Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And so he's not talking about just an appetizer. This is not the snacks. It's not the second helpings. It's not dessert after dinner. He said the food that is necessary for me to eat in order to stay alive. If I had a choice between getting up in the morning and having my sausage and eggs, or getting up in the morning and reading a chapter or two of the Bible, I would rather feed my soul by feeding on the Word of God than I would prepare my body by feeding on oatmeal and whole wheat toast. That's what he's saying. So now here's what I'm asking you. In your estimation, what is of greater value in your life? Making sure the preacher doesn't preach too long because you want to run to the restaurant, or you want to get to your dinner table, or staying as long as you need to get something from God that will help you with your life. So you've got to decide that for yourself. In your estimation, what is more important to you? The fact that Game of Thrones finished its final season, or being able to read your Bible for an hour instead of watching TV. And I only bring that up as an example because that's what I hear people talking about. That's all people can talk about. What am I going to do now that the Game of Thrones has ended? Hey, and I haven't seen 1 minute of that series, but what did I miss? I'm happily married. I got two happy little doggies. I'm part of a church that's happy, doing something for the Lord. I'm enjoying life. I guess I didn't miss anything that I needed. Now, what am I saying? You may disagree with that. That's your estimation. But what you esteem necessary for life, that's what you're going to spend your time with. And the fact that we sing or say or tell someone, I think the Bible is the most important thing in the world. Doesn't matter what we say. What we esteem to be important will be manifest by the time and attention that we give to that thing. You esteem your body important enough to feed it every time it makes the suggestion. Amen. Whether we need to eat or not. We even schedule our days around meals. They control and dominate our lives. We want to get together to fellowship as Christians. You know what we do? We eat. Now listen, I'm not saying that's wrong. We got to eat to keep our bodies alive. God made us that way. And if we got to eat and we can fellowship at the same time, well, great. Let's have it. Let's have at it. But here's what I want to know. Why is it we can say Jesus Christ means more to us than anything in the world? And yet, we'll arrange our schedule around meals, but we won't arrange our schedules so as to allow us to be in the place where God's word is preached when church time comes around. Why? Because we don't esteem that as necessary. We don't esteem that as important. Why will we plan things on days when we know there's a church service? We'll plan things that we know is going to prevent us from being available for witnessing. We'll accept invitations to parties or get-togethers instead of going to the New Year's Eve fellowship in the church where we could hear several men preach the Word of God. And yet, we'll all stand up with Brother Edgar and sing, Jesus is all the world to me, my heart, my soul, my all. We're lying before God in the church house. What am I saying? We are longing for satisfaction. Everybody is. We're longing for happiness. Everybody is. We long for our homes to be the best they can be, for our lives to be the best they can be, for our families to be the best they can be. And if the preacher says the best you can be is laid out for you right here in the Word of God, we'll all say amen. And then we'll go everywhere else to find what we're looking for. Kind of strange, isn't it? In your estimation, what is important? I'll tell you how you can know. What you give yourself to. And when I say give yourself to, I don't necessarily mean time spent. I mean, how do you order the course of your life? You will order your steps so that you can devote yourself to what is important to you. Everybody does. Everybody does. If you don't have time to read the Bible, it's because you don't think it's important. If you don't have time to study the Bible, it's because you don't think it's necessary. If you don't have time to be where the Word of God is preached, it's because you don't think you need it. But when the bottom falls out, you'll run to the man that preached all the sermons that, had you been there to listen to and apply to your life, you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in. You run to that man, you want him to wave a Bible over your problem and fix it. Okay, sure, I'll do what I can. We'll pray, we'll come to the Lord. But every one of us here could say tonight, the troubles that have been in my life, I got in those troubles because I got away from the Word of God. We could all say that. We could all say that. Most of us would say this evening, the trouble I got into, I walked into that thing with full knowledge of what I was doing. I was either mad at God or mad at the preacher or mad at some Christians, and I walked right over what I knew to be true and got myself in that trouble. Isn't that right? It's been true. It's been true in our lives. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter number 2. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. All right. Fill thy bowels. That's his inner parts, his inner man. God said, here is the book. Open your mouth. Take the book inside you. Let the book fill your innermost being. But you know where he started? in chapter 2 and verse 8, where he said, don't be like that rebellious house. So here's the question. I'm trying to reason with you this evening. I'm trying my best to reason with you. But here's an example. Here's a man, he's outside sitting around watching the cars go by when he hears a street preacher say, Jesus said ye must be born again. He laughs, he sneers, and he just goes on his way. The next night, that man gets drunk, commits fornication, and spends all the next day lying in bed with a hangover. Say, boy, that fella, you know what his problem is? He's rebellious against the word of God. Okay, that's true. And then here's a person logging onto a Friday night church meeting on Zoom, hearing a sermon about how we ought to feed on the word of God. And you've already determined it. Well, Brother Bob, sure, he'd say that. He's a fanatic. Nobody really needs to go that far. Okay. I ask you, according to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8, what's the difference between you and that guy? He heard the word of God. He rebelled against it. You heard the word of God and rebelled against it. He's sitting outside on a street. You're sitting in your home. Location differs, but response to God's truth doesn't differ at all. There are more people attending church services in America today than there ever have been any time in the nation's history. And I don't mean just quantity, I mean percentage-wise. There is a greater percentage of American people who are members of a church today than there ever has been in the history of the United States. And we have more abortions, more illegitimate babies, more murders, more rapes, more corrupt laws, more crooked politicians, more, go right on down the list. So obviously, going to church doesn't make one bit of difference if you're not going to apply to your life what you hear from the Holy Bible. There won't be any difference in your life than what you see going on all around you. You say, well, then we just shouldn't go to church. I didn't say that. You know that's not what I'm getting at here. I said there's no point in going to church if you're going to think that the pastor's sermon equals your Christian life. Won't work. Now, what does God want us to eat? Let's start in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Several things. No one has to teach a baby to get hungry. It comes naturally. I'm scared to death of people who say they got saved, but you can see they have no interest in getting in the Bible. Kind of scared about that. Lester Roloff used to say, there's a lot of still births at the altar. I'm scared of that. Notice also in this verse, how do you grow? You don't grow through church. You don't grow through service. You don't grow through fellowship. You grow through feeding upon the milk of the word of God. Notice you don't grow through meat. You don't grow through deep, mysterious doctrines. You don't grow by traveling all around the world trying to find the greatest and most intricate Bible teachers throughout all the world. No, you grow by continuously constantly feeding on the milk of the word. That's how you grow. If you quit basic, simple witnessing to the lost, you'll quit growing. If you quit reading and reviewing the basic, simple truths of the Word of God, you'll quit growing. If you lay aside something as simple as daily prayer and Bible reading, you will quit growing. Some people, they think they've always got to go somewhere where the preacher's going to preach something they never heard before so they can grow in the Lord. No, the sincere milk is what you need to grow. Now look at verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Okay, now that's a desire for somebody else to get some bad treatment. And all guile. That's pretending that you like people when really you just want something from them. And hypocrisies. Wearing a mask, pretending to be something you're not. And envies, despising somebody because God's blessed them in a way he hasn't blessed you. And all evil speakings. Well, that's how you talk about the preacher after church, right? Now, do you know what the Lord says? Gossip, 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 gripe, 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 gossip, gossip, gossip. As long as I'm doing that, I can't eat God's word. Do you see that? If I'm wrapped up in evil speaking, I cannot at the same time be feeding on the word of God. So again, I say our trouble is not that we don't have time for the Bible. It's that our time is taken up with other things. The trouble is not that we don't know how to study God's word. We're too busy studying the brethren. Milk. God's put sincere milk before us so we can grow. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews 5:12. Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You know what you need to be able to teach others? Milk. You know what you need to be an example to others? You know what you need to have a life that is exemplary so that others can safely live the Christian life as they see you living the Christian life? Milk. You know what that milk is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You can tell your children everything in the world. But if you're not feeding on the milk of the Word of God, those children are going to follow your example. And it'll be the wrong example. Amen. You ought to be a teacher. How are you going to be a teacher? Feeding on the milk. So God's given us milk, and he's given us meat, according to this verse, Hebrews 5:12. Okay. And look in Psalm 119 again. We already looked at this one. Psalm 119. God gave us milk to eat. That's how we grow. Then he's given us that which prevents infection and disease within the body. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I don't understand all this stuff, but I know from everything that I've read that honey, somehow or another, gets in the body And whatever is in there that's impure, whatever's in there that's improper, that honey will grab hold of that thing and draw it out and move it on through until it's out of the body. And you know what God's word is? When God's word continually enters our inner man, it'll get hold of anything and everything on the inside of us that's not right, and it will move it out. All the preaching in the world won't do that. All the Christian fellowship in the world won't do that. It takes this word of God. Now, Christian fellowship's important, don't get me wrong. When you're with a group of Christians, you're going to exercise more self-control than you would if you were by yourself. In situations that might normally cause you to maybe lose your temper, lose your testimony. And that's good. That's good. But there's something better. It would be better if you automatically wanted to do right from the depths of your heart, even when you're all by yourself. Now, when I do right because I'm surrounded by my brothers and sisters and I want to demonstrate a good testimony, that's acceptable. But that's not what God is after. What God wants is for his word to so fill my body that anything that might make me rude or cross or offensive because I didn't get my way, God's word will pull all of that out and move it on out. You can't get that from preaching. You can't get that from reading some man's commentary. You got to get that from continually feeding on God's word. All right, look in Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter number 25. Notice what the Bible says here. Proverbs 25, verse number 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. God's word is likened unto apples. That old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, the idea is that whatever else you might be eating, that a daily diet of those apples will keep everything in a proper balance. Not too much sweet, not too much sour, proper balance. Well, you know what we need? We don't need to read our favorite chapter every morning. We need to read the whole Bible. Every word of it, all the way through, from start to finish. And when we get to the finish, start again. You say, why? Because I need the right balance. I don't need all God is wrath. I don't need all God is love. I don't need all heaven. I don't need all hell. I need all the word of God every day to keep my spiritual life in balance. That's what's wrong with a lot of those little daily devotional books. They're nice as far as they go, but all they ever give is a sugar cube. They never give you the castor oil along with it. And that'll get you out of balance. No, we need the apples of God's word. And then don't lose your place in Proverbs. We'll come back here to one more verse, but look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this is not a health lesson. Just an illustration taken from a health lesson, I guess. Ephesians. And I think God uses this. I guess there's one thing that's probably true of all of us is that we don't drink enough water. And all the medical people will tell you this, and I don't care if it's an MD or an osteopath, a chiropractor, whoever it is, they all tell you, you need to be drinking water all the time. Just constantly flushing out the body and constantly restoring and cleansing and purifying and all that. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. You know something? If you get dehydrated, you'll start puckering up because it'll affect your mouth first. You can tell when people haven't been feeding on the word of God, have not been getting water out, getting that water of the word, because they start to pucker. They start puckering up. Amen. Hey, the problem is not the preacher. The problem's not your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're dealing with the same problems they were dealing with when you first started coming to church. The preacher's making the same mistakes he was making when you first started coming to church. What has happened is you're dehydrating. It's causing you to pucker, getting dry, getting dusty, getting bitter, sour. Everything seems to leave a bad taste in your mouth now. And the problem's not the preacher or the brethren. The problem is you're not drinking this living water. So what do we need? We need the milk of the word. We need the honey of the word. We need the apples of the word. We need the water of the word. We need the meat of the word. Now, I can't find one verse where God likens his Bible to vegetables. That's a blessing for those of you who don't like to eat your veggies, I guess. those Israelites, they wanted to get back to Egypt for the veggies. Remember that? All right, back to Proverbs chapter 3. This time, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, now here's a question, Proverbs 3, verse number 1. Proverbs 3, 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So in closing, I ask you tonight, what kind of meal are you placing on the table of your heart? What kind of meal are you placing on the table of your heart? If you eat Hollywood, you will live Hollywood. If you eat news media, you will live news media. If you eat fashion mall, you'll live fashion mall. If you eat the world, you'll live the world. If you eat God's word, you will live God's word. If you feed on God's truth, you will live God's truth. And so I wonder this evening, where do your appetites lie? What are you hungry for? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson and this push, this encouragement to get back to a daily reading of your word. We ask you, Lord, to help us to push out all those things that interfere, that we know are going to try to interfere with our time in your Holy Bible. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to develop a true love for the reading of your Holy Bible. Help us, Lord, to long to be back in the pages of your scriptures and to hate to have to miss it when those times come. Help to never want to neglect the reading of your word for any reason. Help us, Lord, to put it high up on a pedestal above anything else that we might enjoy doing in our lives. Let this be the joy of our lives. Let us rejoice in the fact that we have your very words that we can look into daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.